So in this text called Meditation and Life. So in this text, first of all, the teacher told us about the benefits of meditation and about the outer world and the inner world. And most of us are engrossed in working in the outer world. There are very few who choose to go within and find where the true knowledge, the true wealth, the true benefit of this is. And then various techniques of meditation were covered, how to quieten the mind, because the mind is the biggest obstacle in meditation. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, we spent talking about who is that God, this Brahman, this Om, the consciousness that I'm trying to reach in my meditation. Just to go over this chart, this is BMI, is the body, mind and intellect, that is me. With the body, I perceive the objects of the world. With my mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. And we are my vasanas, my tendencies, my habits, which drive me to work. And so most of us are more interested in the world, objects, emotions, and thoughts. And very few are interested in going inward, where Om represents God's presence in us. And so we had last 2 or 3 weeks, we studied more about who is this God? What are the qualities of that consciousness? And ultimately, that consciousness is everywhere, also within me, and me and that consciousness are not separate. So that's what we talked about. Today, we have a very beautiful and a very interesting topic called the secret of success. Success means excellence. Who is a person who is successful? Who is excellent? Who is the best in his field? Maybe the best in sports, or the best in economics, or the best in business, or the best in art, or music, or mountain climbing. So that is the definition of success. But here, our success is more inner success. And then we'll try to connect the inner success with the outer success. Is there any people think meditation is good for quietening the mind, but it's not going to help me in the world? So we have this divide. Okay, there is the path of spirituality and path of the world. Yes, I do this every morning. I meditate. I do some prayers, but it's not going to help me out here in the world. And so we do not see the practical benefit of this knowledge. So we'll talk about that today. So any success needs sustained and sincere effort. Somebody to become a great musician, how many hours of practice he does, or a dancer, or an athlete, or even somebody to be successful in business, you know, in his profession, anywhere the people want to be successful, they have to put in sincere and sustained effort. And so also in spirituality, for progress to become successful, I have to have sustained and sincere effort. Sustained means constant, daily, and sincere means with all my heart. So similarly, meditation, we say it should not only be a weekend activity, or not only on Thursday evening when I come, I meditate, but it should be done every day in the morning, or if you can't in the morning, in the evening, but at least half an hour minimum, 20 minutes to half an hour, and then as we get more benefit, or we see how it is helping us, then most people extend it to at least an hour. But in the beginning, 20 minutes to half an hour. So constant and sincere effort is required. It should not be in spurts. You know, suddenly I get very enthusiastic about spirituality. I get up, I meditate 1 hour, 1.5 hour for 1 week every morning, and then I get tired, I have a headache, and it's enough. So it should be slow and steady, because progress can only happen in slow and steady effort. If you do it in spurts, you go there, then you come to fall back, then you go, you fall back. And one has to never forget what is my goal. How am I progressing? And what is my goal in life? What is my goal? And as we said, the goal is inner peace, inner silence, contact with the Lord. And so one has to never forget that. And constant reminder of who I am, or who is this Lord within, is very necessary. And one of the ways we practice or we remind is that periodically, when you're sitting, maybe every hour on the hour or whenever you have time, just take a second and close your eyes and take a deep breath and go inward and feel the inner peace, the inner expansion. Maybe let's just do that 3 times. Close your eyes. See how you feel connected with the inner self. Sorry to disturb everybody. Was at the end, when we meditate, this is what we'll be meditating on. And what they recommend is maybe put little stickers, green stickers, like maybe on, nobody of course carries a watch these days, but on your cell phone. So every time I look at my cell phone, I see the sticker, it reminds me I have to breathe. So close your eyes. It doesn't take very long. Just take 1 or 2 deep breaths. Put it on your kitchen sink. Or the kitchen sink or on the stove or in your bathroom. Put a little sticker on the mirror. So when I see that, it reminds me I have to breathe. I have to connect. So what it does is constant reminders will not let you forget. And what it will do is connect you with the Lord. And so maybe put it on your car, on the steering wheel. So put a little green sticker. So the moment I sit, okay, I know I have to. So these constant reminders will connect us with the Lord within. And one should never forget. Talking about never forget, this couple was getting along in age. They were a little older. So they were watching TV. So the husband got up to get some water. So lady says, honey, can you get me some ice cream? He said, sure. He's walking to the kitchen. Listen, write down. To get ice cream. I said, ice cream, of course I remember. She says, no, you won't. I will remember. And as he's walking, also put some whipped cream on it. Okay. Write down ice cream and whipped cream. I'm not going to forget. I'll remember. Put some chocolate syrup. Write down ice cream, whipped cream, chocolate syrup. 3 things, of course I can remember. Okay, don't forget. Don't forget. So, of course, 3 things I can remember. Ice cream, whipped cream, chocolate syrup. What is there so difficult? Goes to the kitchen. After about 10-15 minutes, he comes back. The plate with an omelet on it. Beautiful cheese omelet. So she looks at it. She says, see, I knew you forgot the toast. So we have to make sure we never forget. And so that is very important. And the mind has to be filled with positive values. See, the mind is always dwelling in the field of emotions. So what kind of emotions do I practice in my life? What kind of emotions do I develop? Do I develop positive emotions or do I develop negative emotions? So one has to constantly fill our mind with love, compassion, and be very alert whenever a negative emotion comes, maybe an emotion of anger or an emotion of jealousy or an emotion of sadness, you know, I'm useless, I'm worthless, or an emotion of stress when I'm getting agitated and angry. Just breathe. Just take slow, deep breaths and then fill your mind. You say, I'm not going to allow. So be very alert and watch what the mind is doing. And as the mind becomes negative, angry, when it becomes angry, again, take a few deep breaths. Why am I getting angry? Is anger going to solve any problem? So constant alert living and filling the mind with noble values. And in that, I have found that reading the lives of saints and great souls always is very helpful. So reading the life of great saints and sages and practicing those values helps us to live noble values. And what they say, detach and attach. So what do I detach from and what do I attach to? So in our life, we are all the time attached to objects, emotions, and thoughts. People, beings, my money, my house, my family, my children, my dog, my cat. We're not saying that one should not love the near and dear ones and not have a house or family and all, but do not be too much dependent on them for happiness. Attachment means I depend on that object or that person or that situation for my happiness. And the more I depend on objects and things, the more I get attached to them, the more I want. And the more I want, then it creates all negative values. If I have some money and somebody has more money, I get jealous of him. If I have some success, somebody has more success, I get jealous, I get competitive, I get angry, I try to put the other person down. So all that, I do dishonest things. So detach from the lower and attach to the higher. That's what our master Swami Chinmayananda always said. Detach from this world of objects and hold on to the Lord within and without. Lord is everywhere. And unless you hold on to that, it is becomes very difficult to detach from the lower. So detachment does not mean you don't love, but you do not depend on people or situations or things to make you complete, to make you happy. I am happy within because the Lord of the universe is in me, the supreme consciousness. So what? Why do I have to depend on anybody else for my happiness? I just have to turn within. Like just now, when you closed your eyes and turned within, you felt so much peace, so much, you know, silence and so much joy. So that you can experience anytime once you contact. So detach from the lower and attach to the higher. Then we talk about satsang. Satsang means the company of good. Sat means good, also means truth. And Sangha means company. So the company of the good, the company of the truth. So company of the good means wherever good things are discussed, like we are here today, all of us are talking about God and reading good books and all. So company of good people, good books, or company of the truth. So satsang means, so one should be very truthful in our date, our worldly relationships and our dealings. What I think, what I speak, and what I do should be congruent. It's not that I say present some facade outside, but inside I'm very dishonest, I'm very corrupt. So one has to balance and one has to integrate. Integrate is the right word. My thinking, my speech, and my actions should be all integrated. So what I am doing outside, I should practice inside. And what I am practicing inside should appear outside. So satsang, the company of the truth, company of good people. And the mind should be pure. As we said, the mind should remove the negativities, remove anger. But how can we do that? How can the mind be made pure? One is, of course, reading good books. So they say the most important factor that influences the mind is the intake. So one, of course, is intake of food, like what kind of food we eat. If we eat food that is, say, alcoholic, drugs, you know, they take us down, or food that is very rich, very full of fat, full of grease, full of spices, it stimulates our mind. So the intake should be sattvic. Should eat food that is lightly cooked, more fruits and vegetables. Eating a healthy diet helps in quietening our mind and avoiding foods that are either taking us down or are very passionate or rich foods. But intake is not only food, but what else do I intake? We intake from the ears. So listening to good music, when you go on the internet, listen to good speakers, good teachers, instead of listening to all kind of, you know, in the internet, there is so much hatred, so much anger. On the radio or on your phone, or when you're playing music in the car, play good music or listen to good talks or some, you know, some spiritual, you know, talks or spiritual music. Same way, company of the good. So that my constant attention to be also what I see. You know, what kind of movies I watch, what kind of TV shows I see, what kind of people I associate with. So all that is called intake. and one has to be very alert. And when I study the scriptures or when I study these books, I have to go to the true meaning of the scripture, not only the literal meaning, because all the scriptures are written in symbolism. Like even the Bible is full of symbolism. There is all symbolism. And what is the true meaning of that symbolism? One has to pay attention to. Like there is a story in the Bible where they say there were these ladies. It was a windy, dark night, and each one of them was given a lamp, and they had to carry the lamp from here to maybe about, say, 50 yards without letting the lamp extinguish. And whoever reached there first with the lamp still burning would be considered the winner. So some people ran very fast. Oh, I have to be there. And when the process, the lamp got blown out. Others were very, very careful, and they barely moved, and they just stayed in one place, and they're so afraid that the lamp will extinguish that they just wouldn't move. And then there was one who slowly, steadily kept on the path, and she kept shielding her lamp and steadily, slowly moved, neither too fast, neither too slow, just waiting. Maybe some of them were waiting, maybe the wind will die down. So she reached and she won the race. So in spiritual life also, we find that we have this lamp of spirituality within us that has to be kept alive when on our spiritual journey. And some people are so hasty, so much running here and there, doing so much. I'm doing this and I'm also doing that and also in a hurry and also haste and too busy and too stressed and too... Their lamp extinguishes because they don't have time to think about God. And then there are others who say, spirituality, I think I'll wait till I'm 65. It's too early yet. Now is my time to enjoy, time to have fun. Or they'll start on the path, but then they'll get deviated. They'll start on the spiritual path and they'll say, I don't think meditation, I'm not getting any benefit. People come here and they say, oh, I've been meditating for 2 weeks or 2 months and I don't see any benefit. I'm going to stop. It's a lifelong effort. It's a sustained and sincere effort. You have to give it 25 years before you get the ultimate. I'm not saying that you won't benefit. It'll take you 25 years. As you meditate, as you practice these values, every month you will notice a progress. Every 3 months, every 6 months, every year. But if you truly want to experience that inner self, it takes several years. But it is worth it, because as you progress, you feel so much inner peace, you feel so much joy, you feel so connected to the self, and you feel connected to all. So these saints, how evolved they were, and they spent years of time. Jesus was wandering for 14 years, where nobody knew where he was, what he did. Buddha meditated under a tree for so many years, just sat there without moving. So you and I cannot do that, but at least wherever I am, whatever activity I'm doing, I constantly remember the Lord. Remember, it is because of the Lord's grace that I'm progressing, I'm benefiting, and constantly keep connected and keep that inner lamp burning. Do not let that lamp go out. And that's the symbolism of this beautiful story that we heard in the Bible. I think the chariot I won't talk about. I don't know how much time we have, but I'll talk about Nisargadatta Maharaj. The chariot is a lengthy topic. Maybe we'll do it next week. I'll remember that. But Nisargadatta Maharaj was a very great saint in Western India, near Mumbai, near Bombay. That's where the capital is, like New York. It's where the big city is. And he had no education, had maybe second or third grade, up to fifth grade he studied, and then he dropped out. He didn't have money, and he had to work and help his family, so he never studied. And Nisargadatta Maharaj used to sell bidis. Now, bidis are cigarettes. you know, but they are handmade, hand-rolled cigarettes. They would take the tobacco leaf, roll it, and put a little ground tobacco in it and tie a thread. And it is a cottage industry. It's not made. Cigarettes, of course, are made in factories also, but a lot of the poor people in India smoke these BDs, which are homemade cigarettes, which are leaf wrapped with a little tobacco in it, tied with a thread, and they smoke it. You know, it's very, of course, not very, very bad for health. But he used to make those. He was actually used to make and sell them. Never went to school, never educated. So one day he met a guru. Now the guru must have seen something in this young man, something which an ordinary person wouldn't. And I'm sure this individual, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Nisargadatta was his name, must have done a lot of spiritual practices in his past life. Probably, because otherwise this wouldn't affect him. So the teacher looks at him and he meets this guru, and for some reason, normally he was not interested, but he meets it, he gets attracted. He looks at his eyes and he gets totally, you know, impressed. And he bows down at the feet of the teacher, and when he gets up, teacher looks in his eyes and tells him, "You are that." "What? You are that?" Then he goes away. The teacher just walks off. No teaching, no instruction, no talking in front of the mic, nothing. Just tells him, "You are that." That was a one line of instruction given by one guru one time in his life. Person has never studied spirituality, never even gone to school. So he somehow gets fascinated by this sentence. "Guru told me I am that. What is that? And who am I? I am that. I am that. Why did he say that?" And for 2.5 years, he kept contemplating and thinking, "Who is that? That, you know, that God, that consciousness, which we think of is far away, but is within us, is our true nature." And that's what the guru was telling him, that you are not only this body, mind, and intellect, but you are that spirit, you are that consciousness who is residing in this body. And that was the message. And he kept on thinking, "How can I be that?" And in 2.5 years, it clicked. And that's it. After that, he became a great teacher. He actually would go and give talks, and people would come and listen to him. And I have actually read his book, I Am That. And now, of course, I can understand it. But a few years back, when I tried to read it, I couldn't understand a word. Such high thinking, such beautiful message in that. It's so wonderful. And it's all conversation, question and answer. And you will be impressed that a person who never went to school, never went to a teacher, never studied any books, how can he talk at that high level? So that is what this knowledge does to us. It makes us clear. But he had to have sustained and sincere effort for 2.5 years. But it doesn't happen to everybody. But he had, first of all, a guru. He had total faith in that guru. And he had complete and sincere. So satsang, company of the good, his mind was pure. It was ready. His mind must have been pure. He must have been ready. That's why the guru would tell him. So the guru also knew that there is something special about this young man, and the man also. And after that, he never met his guru again, nothing, but he himself became a great teacher. So what is the benefit of meditation? So they say that there are three kinds of sadhana. Sadhana means the spiritual practices. So one is the outer, as we talked about, living a pure life, not getting too attached, have faith in the scriptures, faith in God, and true knowledge and detachment. And then the inner is listening to these teachings, reading them, and imbibing them in my life. So that is the second. So the outer is the outer things we do to improve our life. Inner is internalize this teaching. But the third one, the true sadhana, is constant awareness of I am that. I am that spirituality. I'm not only this limited being called Anil or Tony or Penny. I'm not this limited individuality, but I am that divinity residing in this body. And my name is Anil, and I'm a male, and I'm whatever, my male or female or young or old, whatever I am. But those are my external. So constant reminder is the true sadhana. So outer, inner, and true. And we have to do all three, sadhana means the spiritual practices. And what is the benefit of meditation? You probably have got it by now. But when a person meditates and comes in contact with the Lord within, his or her mind becomes more peaceful, more calm, more cheerful, more pleasant, more connected not only with the Lord within, but he or she connects with all. Because everybody is that one Lord who is expressing in all of us, in her or him or him or her. There is one Lord. So when I connect with the Lord within, I connect with the Lord outside. And that's what the benefit of meditation is. That not only the person becomes supremely peaceful, cheerful, happy, contented, but he or she develops universal love. And then such a person can be successful in whatever field they undertake. Most of them, of course, once they are on the path, they are really not interested. But truly, a person who is meditating and who is so calm and so peaceful and so connected, he would do well anywhere. If he got into sports, he would do well in sports, in music. You find some of all the saints were wonderful musicians. They composed beautiful songs and they were able to sing. Of course, you know, stories of God and songs of God, they become wonderful teachers. So whatever they can undertake, they become successful. Even such a person, even if he were to go into business or go into a world, he probably would not, but he would be able to do well wherever he went. If he wanted to write, So the benefit of meditation is internal peace and outer connectivity. So what is true success? True success is knowing God within, knowing that I am that divinity and connecting with the whole world. And you can only do that when you detach from the world, attach to God with the satsang, with the company of good, and by understanding the true meaning of the scriptures. So that is the secret of success. I actually really enjoyed preparing for this talk, and you can of course read that in the book when you go home. And if you wish to listen to this talk again, because I find that whenever I have gone to a lecture, listening one time doesn't help. But if you can listen to it again, you can go to the firstpower.info. The website is firstpower.info. You can listen to these talks or also previous talks. So remember, firstpower is one word and .info. So that is the essence of today's talk. Any questions, any comments? Yes.
You know how you say that you should be reading at least two verses of Gita?
Yes.
How do you make as your routine? Because I tried, but it's sometimes, you know, I can do it, sometimes I don't, I couldn't. So, I mean, I want something, how do I make as a routine that, like, oh, okay, this is a routine of my life and I have to do it.
Right. See, in my case, it is easy because I have to teach. So, mm-hmm. God has put me here, so I don't have a choice. I have to read every night. Because on Wednesday, I moderate the study group. So on Monday, Tuesday, I read for the Wednesday study group. Wednesday night, I read for Thursday class. Friday, Saturday, I read for Sunday for the Gita. So mercifully, he has put me here where I don't have a choice. I have to read. And not only that, when people ask questions, I have to know the answer. Otherwise,
right.
You know, I won't be effective. But for the rest of us, first of all, one has to know that this is beneficial for me. And if it is beneficial for me, I will do it, number one. Number two, slowly this has to become the number one priority in my life. My spiritual growth has to become the number one priority. Thirdly, even if you miss once in a while, it's okay. There's no need to get discouraged. But set aside maybe half an hour before I go to bed, not when I'm completely tired, but maybe around 9:30 or whatever, where I can, once the children have gone to bed, dinner is over, dishes are done, then sometime I should take out. So make a fixed time as much as possible. Or,
I mean, you know, how you say it should be sustained and sincere effort. So I try to do it, but it's not getting sustained.
It's okay. At least you are doing it. At least you know yourself. So instead of blaming myself or getting discouraged, previously you were not doing it at all, right? Mm-hmm. Now at least you're doing 3 days out of seven. That's good. So I have progressed. You know, so one should be a cheerleader for myself, not to give false praise, but be happy. At least I'm reading 3 days a week. That's so good. I was not even reading at all. And slowly as you start enjoying it, so you can do various times. Maybe what you can do is, some people, if they work, do you work outside the house, sir? But otherwise, before I leave home for home, maybe spend 20 minutes reading. Because once you get home, then you get tied up. Or in your case, when there are kids are not home, husband is not home, maybe in the late morning, you know, after I have cooked my lunch and or my dinner, done all the cooking and all, then before lunch, maybe I take out half an hour. So you have to set aside a time when that will be quiet, when you are not disturbed, when the kids are not home, husband is not home, there's not much disturbance. I know for a housewife, we are all the time busy. Housewife's work is never done. But one can try to set aside some time every day. It can be morning, it can be afternoon, it can be evening, it can be night, it doesn't matter. But sometime during the day, and if once in a while, if you miss, say you're traveling and you're very busy, or someday you're out of gas, or house is full, or it's vacation time, you know, then you may not. But whenever you can, do that. But it's good. Whatever you're doing is good. There's nothing. See, every step taken on this path,
and it's the same with the meditation too. Like,
yes.
Sometimes I feel like, okay, let me try. And then sometimes it's just...
Yeah, meditation one must do every morning, at least 4 or 5 days a week. I actually meditate every day. And lately, I used to meditate for half an hour, then 1 hour. Now most of the time, I try to meditate an hour and a half. It's hard, but I just wake up earlier. So you have to set an alarm and get up early and meditate. And once in a while, if you miss, it's okay, but it has to become a way of life. Meditation has to become. Then only progress is possible. But even if you, again, do not criticize yourself or do not put yourself down. Earlier, I was not meditating at all. Now, at least I'm meditating 3 days a week. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. So it's progress. And as you do that, you have to encourage yourself. Don't put yourself down. Oh, I'm so useless. I'm worthless. I couldn't do it today. It's okay if I couldn't do it. Or if you couldn't do it in the morning, then maybe before you go to bed at night, you know, you can just lie down in your bed and then just do that meditation exercise. Close your eyes, relax your body from head to toe. Take deep breaths. And as you breathe out, chant Om silently. And that becomes meditation. If you cannot sit in one place and do that, just do it before you go to sleep and let your last 5 or 10 or 15 minutes before you go to sleep be a meditation. Even if it's not a formal meditation. And if you fall asleep, that's beautiful. Your sleep will be more peaceful. Actually, every night before I sleep, that's how my sleeping pattern is, or my sleeping routine is, that I lie down in bed, put my hands on my side, and relax my body from head to toe. And then slow, deep breath in and out. And as I breathe out, you can chant Om, or you can chant your mantra, or just observe your breath. And as you do that, your mind will drift off and you will fall asleep. So that can become your meditation. But formal meditation is good. But if you cannot do it every day, at least you can do this every night. And then 5, 10, see, nobody falls asleep instantly when you lie down. It takes at least 5, 10, 15 minutes. So let that be your meditation. And then also whatever activity, one more thing. Like when I'm cooking, my full attention is on cooking. That is a mindfulness. At that time, I'm not thinking about, who am I cooking for? If my food won't taste good, what will my guests think? Or when I'm doing the dishes, I'm just doing the dishes. My full, not that why do I have to do the dishes? Nobody else in the house does that. Then your dishes will become on. But you just say, I am doing the dishes. And full attention on the dishes. That's it. On nothing else. Or you can even say, I'm cooking for God. Because God is in my husband. God is in my children. God is in my guests. That's one way. Other way is full attention to that. So all your activities, when you're driving, you're fully driving, not worried about when I get there, what am I going to tell that person? I'm going to go meet that person. I have this. No, while I'm driving, so mindfulness. So those all become meditation. So put your hands, put your right hand on your forehead, and then with the thumb, you control the right nostril, and with the ring finger, you control the left nostril. So with the close the right nostril, deep breaths in and out through the left nostril 3 times. Pause. Breathe out. Pause. Again, breathe in, pause, breathe out, pause. 3 times. Now close the left nostril, open the right nostril, and 3 deep breaths with pause. And pay attention to the pause, the silence. No hurry, slow deep. Alternate, in through the left, out through the right, in through the right, out through the left with a pause. So in through the left. Pause. Out through the right. In through the right. Pause. Out through the left. So do that 3 or 4 times. Bring your hand down on your knees or in your lap and continue to breathe slow in and out. Pay attention to the pause. As you breathe inwards, take your attention inside. Feel the Lord's presence within. The Lord is in me. I am one with the Lord. I am not separate. That divinity I am. Continue to breathe. And take your attention inward. Pay attention to who I really am. When your mind wanders, again go back to the breathing and connect with the Lord within. Let us practice that for a few minutes.